Welcome to our worship service. There were a lot of different ways that people in the Bible served God. And one of them in the Old Testament is when God called someone to be a prophet. We're going to talk about Moses tonight being a prophet. And there were no books to hand out to say, here's what God says. So what God would do is he would talk to one of the prophets, maybe verbally, maybe in a vision, maybe he'd just give them the words to say, and then the prophet would say that to the people. And he wasn't at liberty to say whatever he wanted to. This is what God says, and that's what the prophet would tell him. Well, they were very valuable to keep the people in tune with what God wanted them to do and how he wanted them to live. And we'll talk about Moses doing that tonight in our sermon. Well, Moses was faithful, but he also talks about someone else coming that's even greater, and that's, of course, our Savior Jesus. He is also our prophet, speaking God's word to us and letting us know the truth so that you and I can understand our salvation. We'll talk about that and thank the Lord for giving us our great prophet, Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and ask for his forgiveness. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall. Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us through all temptations. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading is a lesson from 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 13. When Paul went to the city of Corinth, there were many people that believed God's word and became Christians, but some of these people had lived a sinful life their whole lives, and they had bowed down to idols, and they had even sacrificed meat to idols and thought that they were doing the right thing. Well, after they were brought to know Jesus and knew the true faith, this worship of idols and the sacrificing of idols was something they wanted to stay away from completely. And what would usually happen is the meat that was sacrificed to some of these idols would end up at the marketplace because of no refrigeration. So it really bothered some people that they could buy meat sacrificed to an idol. Other Christians, maybe it wouldn't bother. Well, Paul talks about that in this reading, and his encouragement is for us not to just to think about what would be good for us, but to be cautious about what we do so we don't cause someone else to fall into some kind of a sin. Here's what Paul says. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone supposes that he knows something, he does not yet know the way he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this person has been known by him. So concerning the eating of food from idol sacrifices, we know that an idol is not anything in the real world, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even if there are so-called gods, whether in the heavens or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, nevertheless for us there is one God, the Father from whom all things exist, and we exist for him. When one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things exist, and we exist through him. However, that knowledge is not in everyone. Instead, some who are still affected by their former habit with the idol eat the food as something sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us any closer to God. We do not lack anything if we do not eat, nor are we better off if we do. And be careful that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, a person who has knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of this man, weak as he is, be emboldened to eat food from an idol's sacrifice? You see, the weak person is being destroyed by your knowledge, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And when you sin in this way against your brothers and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother, my fellow Christian, to sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I do not cause my brother to sin. Our psalm reading for tonight is part of Psalm number 1. Please join me in reading it together. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus shows that he is true God by driving out these evil spirits, and he wants the people not just to understand that he's powerful, but that he really is God's Son and the Savior of the world. Then they went to Capernaum. On the next Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who has authority and not as the experts in the law. Just then there was a man with an unclean spirit in their synagogue. It cried out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked the spirit, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. Everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly through all the region of Galilee. God's word for our study this evening is the Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brother Israelites. Listen to him. That is exactly what you asked from the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly. You said, "Do not let me hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, and do not let me see this great fire again, or I will die." Then the Lord said to me, "They have done well by saying what they said. I will raise up a prophet for them from among their brothers like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them everything that I command him. Anyone who will not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. Any prophet who presumes to speak something in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks something in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Dear fellow worshipers, when you and I read our Bibles, there are lots of terms and words to understand so that we can know what God's talking about. The word testament, for example, like Old and New Testament, testament is a promise. There's an old promise, Jesus will come. The new promise is that he'll come back again. A saint, that's a believer. Sanctification, sanctify, that means to make holy. Justify means to declare not guilty. Apostle in the New Testament, like Paul, That means someone sent by God. And then the term that we're going to talk about tonight is that word prophet. I like to think of a prophet as God's mouthpiece. That God would say something to Moses, and Moses would just say the same thing to God's people. And it was very important because this is how God communicated with them and how he made himself known to them. While Moses was a faithful prophet, and there were many in the Old Testament that did the same thing, but someone better was coming. And all these things pointed ahead to Jesus coming into the world. How thankful you and I can be that Jesus is our great prophet. He's the one that is sent by God himself, and he speaks God's word to us so that you and I know the truth. The name Deuteronomy means second giving of the law, so God basically repeats all the things that he had told the people. He didn't add anything to what he told them. It's sort of like a repetition to reinforce what God had said, and the people certainly needed it. The people at Moses' time, they had learned about idols in the land of Egypt, and for many of them, that's what they continued to worship. They knew the true God, and they knew what the true God had done for them, but so easily they went back to idolatry. Remember when Moses is up on Mount Sinai and they think he's taking too long. What do the people do? They build a golden calf and they're bowing down to that because they didn't think Moses was coming back. The people needed to be reminded who the true God is. If it wasn't idols, other people in the Old Testament, they practiced divination where you study the intestines of animals to foretell the future, witchcraft, all these crazy things. And the devil used all of them to try and get people distracted from the true God so that they would believe in other things and not continue in their faith. In our verses tonight, we have what's called a messianic prophecy. Messiah, that's Jesus, the chosen one. Prophecy is a promise. So God was making a promise here about Jesus coming into the world. And that's what Moses said. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. You must listen to him. This prophet that Moses is describing would come from the people. He would be their descendant. This prophet that Moses was describing would speak like Moses did as a prophet, but would be greater than Moses. This prophet that God's describing would be a mediator. He would go between God and the people and be the one that would share messages with them and talk to the Lord on their behalf. This prophet would be very special and would actually be God's son. And as God's son, this special prophet would speak to the people, he would guide them in their lives of faith. And obviously, this great prophet that Moses is talking about is Jesus. The people needed to be shown their sins and get rid of their idols and turn back to the Lord. They needed to be told who their Savior was eventually when Jesus would come into the world. They needed to know that as believers, they had a responsibility to live for the Lord and not for themselves, which is what they were doing now. God was promising to send this prophet into the world so that he could change the people's lives spiritually and bring them on that path of faith. Well, right now, we're thousands of years past Moses on Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments and getting the second giving of the law. But it's interesting how the problems are still the same today. There's idolatry today. People don't necessarily bow down to images or statues. They could. But maybe more popular of idols today are things like money. Or maybe possessions. Sometimes I think for a lot of people, their idol is themselves, and they cater to themselves and what they want to do. Anything that you love more than God can become your idol. Other things are the same today as they were at Moses' time, and that's sin. Sin is all around us. We can hear about crime and violence every single day. We can read about it in the newspaper. We see the sin in ourselves and the temptations that we go through and how we fail the Lord. We see the sin in other people. We see how the devil works and tries to get the faith out of our hearts and out of our fellow Christians. We see all of that. The same problem that people had in the Old Testament about staying faithful to God, it's the same temptations today. The devil doesn't give up either. How thankful you and I can be that by faith we know that Jesus is our great prophet. And he has come here to do for us exactly what we need him to do. We need to see our sin and our complete inability to please God. We need to see how Jesus took away our sins by living in our place perfectly and then making the ultimate sacrifice, not just suffering during that last week of his life, but also dying. Crucifixion was a brutal way to die. It was reserved for the worst criminals. But Jesus was willing to do it because it meant saving us from our sins. Jesus rose again, which no one expected, to prove that everything he said and everything he did was true and that you and I could benefit from it. Jesus is our great prophet, and God sent him to do just that, to take care of us and our spiritual needs. Moses was a faithful prophet. He said what God wanted him to say. He did what God wanted him to do, and he served God the best that he could, but so often the people didn't want to listen to Moses. Remember when they got to the Red Sea? They got out of Egypt, and they get to the Red Sea, and this sea is there, and Pharaoh's army is coming up behind them, and the people start complaining. Moses, did you bring us out in the wilderness to die? We should have just stayed in Egypt. Later on, when Moses again is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, the people get impatient. He's up there 40 days when they make that golden calf. They kind of gave up on Moses and God there too. And they would do the same throughout their Old Testament history. What the people did is they looked at their circumstances. And when their circumstances didn't look very good, now they lost their trust in Moses and therefore God, and thought that everything was lost. They lost their confidence in God and what he promised to do. There's a real temptation for you and I to do the same thing sometimes. Our lives aren't perfect. We have times when there's problems that we're facing, health issues or money issues or family issues, other things that can go on in our lives. And when we size up our problems, and then we look at how the Lord is helping us, we might say, well, Lord, where are you? I want a solution to this. Where are you? Lord, I want to feel better. I want to be healthier. Where are you? Lord, I want to stay away from temptation and sin. Where are you? Why aren't you helping me more with that? I have a lot of people say, Pastor, isn't the world sinful enough? Can't just God destroy the world now and take us all home to heaven? Where is the Lord? Is he really in control? Sometimes we do the same thing. We look at our circumstances, and if they're not going well, then we are question God and who he is. We are tempted to lose our confidence in him instead of trusting him. Well, remember that Jesus was a greater prophet than Moses. Jesus is God's son. He's not limited in knowledge. He's not limited in power. He's not limited in wisdom. He is true God and the only Savior that there can be. And even when you and I don't understand how God is helping us or question why he's not helping us more or doing this or doing that, even when we're tempted to think that, we should put ourselves into the Savior's hands because he ultimately knows what's best for us. And whether we realize it or not, he's behind the scenes guiding and directing our life every day. And we know that he can help us with whatever comes along. Jesus is our great prophet, greater than Moses or any other human prophet. He was sent by God, and he speaks God's word to us. Try and imagine that you're an Old Testament believer, and you're down at the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses is up there. He's getting the Ten Commandments from the Lord, and the people have been told, you stay here, don't touch the mountain, or you'll die. And then think of what they saw there. You could go back and read about this scene at Mount Sinai. There was smoke on the mountain. There was fire. They heard a trumpet blast. They saw all these things going on, and Moses is up there. And finally, the people became so afraid that they said, Moses, we don't want to speak directly to God. Can you send someone to go in between us? And that's really what Moses did. Moses served as a mediator between God and the people, and that's one of the things that he was blessed to do, to serve as a mediator, someone to go in between. Well, when Jesus came into the world, that's what he would do too. Moses' job was pretty easy. All he had to do was tell the people what God had said and then take care of it. Sometimes it was easy because the message was good. Sometimes when the message was bad and God was going to punish them for their sins, then it was a little more difficult to tell them, but it was God's message just the same. And that's what God asked Moses to do. When Jesus came into our world, he did the same thing. He spoke God's word to the people. And wherever he went, he was always talking about God's kingdom. And whoever he talked to, they heard the same message. Remember the night when Nicodemus comes to see Jesus under the cover of darkness? Jesus told him the truth. Nicodemus, you're a Pharisee. You can't save yourself. You have to believe in me. You're dead in your sins, Nicodemus. Believe in me. I'm the Savior. Remember when Jesus met up with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and Zacchaeus is cheating people left and right out of their money and keeping the extra. And Jesus had to convince Zacchaeus, this is the wrong thing to do. And then we read about how Zacchaeus repented, paid back four times what he had taken from people, and then gave half of his possessions to the poor. Jesus talked to people who were prostitutes. He talked to sinful people, people who had done terrible things, showed them their sin, but then also showed them that by faith in him, they were forgiven of their sins. And they could have that confidence. Think about Peter, the disciple. He denies Jesus three times, and he knew he had done the wrong thing. And yet Jesus comforted him with the assurance that his sins were forgiven and forgotten by God. By God's grace, you and I know the same truths about our life. The law shows us our sin and our complete inability to please God. There isn't a single thing that you and I can do to earn our home in heaven. But then Jesus tells us the good news. He has forgiven every one of our sins. He's taken all the guilt and shame away. He forgives them, and as the Bible says, he even forgets what our sins are. He doesn't keep a record of wrongs in heaven. He doesn't really let us have it the next time based on what we did the previous time. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to limit you to 10 sins in this category and 50 sins in that category. It doesn't matter what it is. He forgives us and he forgets our sins, and then he strengthens us to be even better as Christians the next time. In Moses' day, and in Jesus' day too, they weren't the only ones speaking. There were false prophets around. And in Jesus' earthly ministry, he often warned the disciples, and he warns us about false prophets too. He said this once to the disciples in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." So the devil's at work again, isn't he? He's at work not just with idols and other things. He's got people out there twisting the Bible's message, changing it a little bit, maybe adding something into the Bible or taking something out. Did you hear in our Bible reading for tonight what God says should happen to those false prophets? He says, "A prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death." How is God so serious about that? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? If you change the Bible's message, if you add something to it, if you take something away from it, that's not the truth. And you cannot be saved. You change the Bible in any way and you do not have God's plan of salvation. Jesus was trying to make such an impression on the disciples that they would watch out for other prophets that were speaking falsely, and that would motivate them to hold on to the truth. We have false prophets around today, don't we? Those that do not believe what the Bible teaches. Those who are proud of the fact that they've made the Bible into something that God has not done and want people to believe their version of it. But the same holds true. If you or I would change the Bible's message, we change that plan of salvation. What a privilege for you and I to know the truth about the Bible. And we're not here with Jesus now. He's back in heaven. So we don't hear him speaking to us in a physical way. But he speaks to us every day as we study the Bible and read his word and follow the things that he wants us to do and believe. And what a privilege that is. Jesus is our great prophet. He is sent by God, and he speaks God's word to us so that we can know our salvation and remain strong in it. There are a lot of jobs that require you to know things in order to do your job. So if you're a car mechanic, let's say, you've got to know not just how to fix the problem, but how to diagnose the problem. You have to have a lot of knowledge about cars and automobiles for that. Doesn't a doctor really do the same thing? Doctor has to assess a patient and try and determine as best they can what the problem is and then come up with a solution for it. Well, as Christians, aren't you and I really asked to do the same thing when we're living our life of faith? You and I have to figure out when we hear something if it's the truth of God's word or not. You can hear a lot of things on TV. You can read a lot of things on the internet. You could have friends that come over and want to talk about other things in the Bible. You could have a knock on the door from someone who's coming around and visiting and wants you to believe what they do. How good are we at figuring out what's true and what isn't? Sometimes false teaching is pretty slick. You know, it sounds right. And people are very good at presenting their lies. Maybe you think about being taken away from the truth of God's word and you think, oh, come on, that's never going to happen to me. Well, isn't that what Peter said when Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times? Peter said, no way, Lord, I'll never do that. It's never going to happen. Well, it did. Peter did exactly what Jesus had said because Peter was trusting himself instead of putting his confidence in God. My friends, the false teachers are out there, and they're going to continue to be. You and I have to know the truth. And we don't find confidence in just us saying, I'm too smart for that to happen or too strong for that to happen. The way that you and I are strong is when we're holding on to God's word, when we're studying, when we're learning, when we're growing. That's when we're armed to know the truth about God's word, and we can see false teaching coming a mile away. Jesus is our great prophet. He's done so many wonderful things for us. He's told us the truth about our sins and our salvation, and he's still with us today sharing God's truth. What a privilege to be Christians and to continue to live that way and to spend every day thanking God for the Savior that he promised and sent for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of faith. Tonight we're using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.